Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So it almost feels like an obligation to mention the eclipse. Do you guys remember that thing? Wasn't that kind of a deal like a few days ago? Doesn't that feel like a month ago already? And it was Monday. How long were we talking about it for? Two months? A year? Yeah, I mean, I started seeing like posters go up and people talking about what was happening in downtown Cape or where you could go to Uptown Jackson and see things. I have a buddy that I grew up with and did ministry with, and now he's a photographer for SpaceX, which is fun because I get to show my kids his pictures because they're kind of a big deal. And my kids are like, "You know that guy?" And I'm like, "Yeah, he used to body slam me in front of my friend." And I messaged him on Instagram, and I should have done it a week earlier. And I said, "Hey, if you're coming near here," he's in Florida, where they do the launches and stuff. And he said, "Oh my gosh!" He said, "I was in Jackson, Missouri. Like my buddy for SpaceX and NASA came here for that whole thing. I mean, this was quite the preparation. How long was it? 4 minutes." Guys, that was a lot of work for 4 minutes, like a boatload of work. And we had fun. We had the staff out kind of on the parking lot, the top of the hill out here, and cooked out hamburgers. I ate so much food. There is no reason for me to eat as much food as I ate other than it was there. And so was I, and so it happened. But here's, it's true that in this space where we're anticipating something coming, that if we're going to live into the thing that's coming, we have to start preparing long before it gets there. You know, ask anyone who has a grandbaby on the way or someone who's getting ready to move, some senior who figured out what they're doing after they graduate high school, right? Why does senioritis exist? Anybody remember senioritis? It exists because we're living into the future now, whether I'm doing okay in calculus or not. We start preparing for the thing that's coming. We start living into it. It's like the future has a way of reaching into our present and grabbing us where we are and saying, "Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's step forward." And when Jesus, God in the flesh, comes into the world, he starts having this narrative, like this invitation to talk about something that's coming, that's also reaching into the present and like pulling us forward, like we're experiencing it here and now, even though it's not here yet. That maybe the center of his message could be summed up in like Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent," or "Change your mind, change your thinking, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." That this is the center of Jesus's message, that God is on the move in this world, that his kingdom is both here and is coming. Maybe we could skip forward to like verse 23. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news or the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, that's like 10 kind of town cities together, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across Jordan followed him. That when Jesus shows up and he talks about the kingdom of heaven, as Matthew says, the kingdom of God, as the other gospel writers say, Matthew, he was appealing to the Jewish audience that would have been hesitant to say the name of God. So he says, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is here. It has come near. That Jesus is saying that is the thing that I am here to talk about. That's the bedrock of everything that he preaches and teaches. And it's interesting that he says that the kingdom has come near. That this almost, it's almost the whole gospel right there. It's not about us finding the kingdom of God so much as it is about the kingdom of God coming to us. And it's on us to respond and say yes. To say that we're willing to come in. And, you know, the kingdom of God is maybe potentially loaded language because we don't do kings really anymore. There's not too many places that do. I mean, even think about even England, right? There's not a, you know, the king is more of a figurehead. You know, there's maybe just a few nations in the entire world that have a legitimate monarchy. But when someone walked around in the ancient world saying that there is a new kingdom here, who was that a threat to? The king. The guy whose job that was, right? And he's in the Roman Empire, right? And so there's a king of kings. His name's Caesar. And this was such a charged bit. Did you remember the sign that went up above Jesus' head on the cross? Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This was the thing. This was the thing that was revolutionary, maybe even rebellion language, is that there's a new king in town. That there's a new king in town. And Jesus walked around inviting his people into it. So why is there a need for the kingdom of God to come? I mean, isn't the whole universe his? It's already his, right? When I was in high school, I think it was after my senior year, maybe it was after my junior year, my parents and my brother, a couple of my brothers left town for a couple of weeks, and it was just me. Now, that was my parents' house, right? It's their house. One time they called, and I picked up the phone, and there was about 40, 50 of my friends there. And do you remember phones with cords? I had to pick up the phone without the cord, and I went out of the kitchen, past the pool, into the back corner of the yard to say, hi, hi, because the noise was maybe enough that it could bleed through the phone. And yeah, everything's fine. Nope, just hanging out. Yeah, good. Love you. Bye. Hung up the phone. In that moment, that was my parents' house. Was the house going by their rules? Not at that moment. And so there was a need at some point for my parents to come home, and it becomes theirs in a different way again. Right? My friend Mike White stayed and helped me clean up the house afterwards because mom's coming home. And the whole universe is his. But at creation, in our scripture, it talks about how he delegates authority. He gives authority to humanity to rule, to steward, to care for, to craft the culture of the world. And how did we do with that? Super great. No. No, we made it about ourselves. We made it about ourselves. And our sin broke the world. And since then, we've been putting each other through hell. We've been putting each other through hell. And everything broke. Our relationships broke. Our bodies broke. Our hearts broke. Our spiritual lives, our connection with God broke. And since that first rebellion, when we became a traitor race, there has been a need for the kingdom of God to come in a fresh and in a healing way. And when Jesus shows up, he starts talking about it. He starts saying that there's a new king in town. Now, that's either good news or bad news, depending on who the king is, right? And it's interesting that so many times when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God coming, it says that he healed people. You know, lots of people walk around with ideas. In the ancient world, there was no shortage of philosophers, of people who had things that they talked about that sounded interesting, maybe even revolutionary, and nobody remembers their name. But when Jesus showed up, there were crowds. Can I just say that some of that was because of his ideas? A lot of that is because people were getting healed. Ancient world, no modern medicine, no help, nothing but, you know, like rub some dirt on it and walk it off. This is like real dad energy kind of solutions here, you know? Like you can rest, but if you're paralyzed, that's just kind of it. If you're blind, that's just kind of it. If there's something wrong with you on the inside, that might just be kind of it. And when Jesus shows up talking about the kingdom of God, he also shows up and he heals people. Word spreads and thousands start showing up. Over and over and over again, like in, we read Matthew 6, here's Matthew 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Or if we could go to Luke, I'm just picking a few here. Luke 9, verse 1, when Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons. That's spiritual healing and cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. See how they're together. They're together. Or here in verse 10, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. He took them with him and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. That over and over and over again, there's this connection between Jesus proclaiming the kingdom of God, announcing it with his words, and then showing that the king is coming with his hands. Right? He's announcing it with his lips, and he's showing it by healing people. All kinds of healing. Jesus restored people in their relationships to each other. That's relational healing. He restored people in their spirit. He restored people in their body. He restored people's emotions. He restored people's minds. He was after restoring the whole person, not just one bit of them. I mean, this was a part of it. And when I was prepping for this sermon, I had already gone ahead in my mind. I was trying to be like a little overly Bible nerdy. And I was ready for like the Greek word for healing used in the New Testament is usually sozo, which means salvation. It means wholeness. And I was ready to talk about how the kingdom brings wholeness. And then I opened up my Bible software. Did you guys know that I do not know Greek or Hebrew? That is just like, I know I reference it sometime. That's because I paid Bible software to make me look smart. Just so you know. I mean, like, I took a couple of classes. That was like 16 years ago. I know nothing. And I can look up what word it is on there, and it's great. And every time that it talks about the kingdom of God and healing together, it's not the word sozo. It's interesting. The word healing there is therapeuo. I'm betting that you don't have to be a scholar to figure out how we translate that word. Therapeuo. He's preaching the kingdom of God and bringing therapy to people. I called up Dennis Rennie, who goes to the church, Dennis Rennie. He has Premier Rehab. And I met with him and was like, tell me about therapy. Physical therapy. I mean, how does this go? And we had a fascinating conversation. And so without being able to reference everything that he said, I just want you to know that a lot of what I have to say about that was informed by a good conversation with him. But here's one of the challenges I noticed. When we talk about healing, emotional healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, mental, relational, whatever it is, one of the barriers that people have is that they're afraid that, like, shame, maybe. They almost feel ashamed for the need for healing. Do you guys... anybody, y'all have a dog? You know the cone of shame? You know the cone of shame? And I think sometimes when they're like, something's broken inside, they're afraid to ask for help because maybe they think that this is what it feels like a little bit. They're like, I'm a loser. Somebody feed me, you know? But therapy, anybody been to physical therapy? That's hard work. That's hard work. But here's just a few stock photos that I grabbed about physical therapy. I mean, that's hard work. There's almost like a dignity that's affirmed in the work that has to be done. Because it's not just something that is done to you, like when Dennis and I were talking. Therapeuo is always a partnership. It is always the person that's leading the healing and the person responding to the healing working together. And it starts with the person who's leading the healing seeing the person as a whole person. Seeing them, caring about them, asking them good questions. It always starts with good questions. I went into a doctor once who will remain unnamed, and I had this thing on my arm that I couldn't figure out what to do, which is like, that's not fun, you know, when your kids are like, he... And I went in, and this dude asked no questions. He looked at it, and he said, oh, you're allergic to the Neosporin, and started to walk out. I was like, I didn't use any. And he turned back around, and he said, oh, you're allergic to the adhesive bandage. And turned back around and said, I used a non-adhesive bandage. And now I realize I'm annoying the person by pointing out that he's not listening to me. And he turns around, and he says, well, whatever it is, it's the same treatment, and leaves. That's not therapy. Therapy, speech therapy, physical therapy, mental health therapy starts with the person leading the healing, seeing the person and understanding their need, caring about them and caring about the whole person, listening to them. It affirms their dignity and it invites them to participate. It's a partnership. It's something we do together that walks you towards wholeness and healing. I mean, that's like a whole different thing. So when Jesus comes announcing the kingdom of God, he's putting the whole world through therapy. But the kind where he has to put his hands on. And it's about root causes. Therapy is not so much about symptoms. It's not about symptom management. In fact, sometimes we might do some things in physical therapy that don't feel great. Right? And so we're walking towards discomfort for the sake of healing root causes. That takes courage. You know, think about the woman who, by the way, in this passage, it is the word sozo, the woman with that was bleeding, that like crawled her way to Jesus and grabbed the bottom of his robe in the middle of a crowd. That took courage. That took courage. That took something in her heart that was like determined to get better. I mean, there's always this element of like dignity and partnership when Jesus shows up to heal people. It's even part of his mission statement. Like in Isaiah 61, it's one of my favorite passages. Jesus quotes this in a synagogue in the book of Luke when he starts his ministry. He's saying, this is me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. When he says he's come to bind up the brokenhearted, I mean, that's emotional healing. He talks about addressing grief and people that are carrying heaviness. He talks about people that are carrying despair and him wanting to trade all of that for the kingdom of God coming in a fresh way. And that this word to bind up the brokenhearted, it's also a word for healing or to govern, to rule. My parents are coming home and we're going to have their rule and their reign here. And we're in this in between, the already and the not yet of the kingdom of God, and it's hard. So we ask for healing sometimes, and sometimes we see it. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're in the already, and sometimes we're in the not yet. And I just know that we're always going to live in the not yet if we never chase after the already. We're not going to get the already a lot of the time. But why not ask? When I've seen it show up in people's lives, it's so beautiful. Restored relationships, restored body, restored mind, restored soul. Sometimes it's just a step in the right direction. And most of the time, maybe, it's just a step in the right direction. A little while back, we had a healing service, and there was a story that I wanted Kim to come share a little bit. So would y'all please welcome the Reverend Dr. Kim Holmes. They don't know that you're the most educated person on our staff, by the way. Well, they do now. That's good. Yeah. What was your story a few years ago?
So we had a healing service similar to what we're having today. And Tom, my husband, and I were at a station, and we had been praying for people. And there was one girl that came up, and her friends were carrying her. She couldn't walk very well at all, and they were carrying her up there, up to us. And I noticed that she had like a Popeyes uniform on, and she had her name tag and stuff, and I didn't know her. So she came up, and we had been trained to ask, what would you like Jesus to do for you? So we asked her that, and she said, I want Jesus to forgive me. And I just remembered, like, that just took me by surprise, because most everybody else just went straight to the what they wanted healing for or whatever. So I said, okay. And we had also been kind of trained to like invite them to pray first if they wanted to, if they felt comfortable doing that. And so we asked her to do that, and she, if she wanted to, and she did, and she prayed for forgiveness. And then we, Tom and I, prayed for her. And then I asked her if there was anything else we could pray for her about, because in my mind, I'm like, you can't walk, and like, is there anything else? And she did mention that her knee was bothering her, and could we pray for that? So we did, and it wasn't anything spectacular. We were not the most verbal people. Well, Tom is, but...
he is one of the more verbal people that I know, yeah.
So we prayed over her, and her friends helped her walk away, because literally she could not walk on her own. She needed help. And that was it. And we prayed for other people. Well, a couple of weeks later, she just was on my mind. I just kept thinking, God, I guess, just kept bringing her to my mind. And so I prayed for her as I would think about her. And then I felt like God was like nudging me, like, go check on her. Cause I mean, she had her Popeyes uniform on. So I was like, maybe I'll go to Popeyes.
Biscuits, you're good.
Yeah. I think I might've ordered that. No, I think I did the Cajun rice or something. But anyway, she wasn't there. So the next week I was like, okay, maybe I'll try again. She was behind the register. And as I walked in, she saw me come in, and she, like, whatever she was doing, she stopped doing, and she ran from behind the cashier, the cash register, and met me in the little hallway, and she was running up and down, and she was like, I'm healed, God healed me. And I was like, yeah, how did that happen? Like, he healed me. And I said, what happened? She said, well, the next day I woke up and I felt a little better, and the day after that I woke up and I felt a little better. And she said, and then I went to my doctor's appointment, and he goes, what happened? And she goes, I don't know. I think God healed me. He goes, well, I guess he did because you don't need surgery anymore. And that was it. And it was just all God. It wasn't anything special. I know. Give God the praise. It wasn't anything special Tom or I did. I don't even know if anybody else got healed. But she did. Yeah. And it was beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Here's the thing. I have prayed for so many people for healing. I prayed for my own healing. Sometimes things in my heart, sometimes things from my past. Sometimes I see dramatic things. Most of the time, I don't. Some of the time, it's just a step in the right direction. I have a complicated situation in my history where I remember the pastor coming to my house to pray for my dad. When I was little, I remember coming down the steps a little ways and like sitting on the steps and looking over and seeing people pray for my dad. And for a while he was healed pretty miraculously. And we had a few more years with him before he passed away when I was 7. And I know he was prayed for both times. One time he's prayed for and we get a few more years with him. No medical treatment available for what he had. Another time he's prayed for and dies. The already and the not yet. And we have to carry the tension. I do. I'm assuming you do too. And on the cross, we see the already and the not yet. God has come into the worst of it. And he meets us there. And the world is still deeply broken. And as he is walking the world back to wholeness, we're participating with him and doing the brave act of stepping into the tension, saying, God, I'd love for you to meet me in my relationship with my sibling that I don't talk to anymore. Can you heal that? And I want to meet you in what's wrong in my emotions, maybe in my depression or my anger or my grief. God, help. What do you want to do there? How do you want to meet me? And I notice when we talk about a healing service, you can feel some people, understandably, their anxiety goes up. They're like, oh no, it's going to get weird, you know? And it just doesn't have to get weird, because here's the thing. Praying for someone for healing is an act of love. It's just an act of love. And first of all, I would love to see you going into your families and into your school and into your work and into whatever, your golf scramble. And when someone mentions some area of their life that is broken, that you say, can I pray for you? Just right now, let me pray for you. Not the, you know, the Christian, I'll pray for you about that. Which is Christian for hope that goes well. Except for a few of you guys that actually do that. But what you can ask to put your hand on their shoulder if you want. And just quick prayer. God, you love this person. I pray that you'd heal this thing going on in their life. We love you. Amen. That you can give an act of love to everybody in the factory, to everybody in the break room, to everybody in your apartment building. You can do that. And as long as that person walks away knowing that they're loved, it's a win. It's, if that person walks away and knows that you care about them, that's a win for the kingdom. What if the next time you see them, you're at Popeyes and they start running around telling you about how they don't need surgery anymore? That's a win too. And so we want to invite God as he has invited us. God, we want your kingdom to come here because you have invited us into your kingdom. You know, he's asked us to pray in Matthew 6, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know why we pray that? Because we're in the already and the not yet. We wouldn't be asking for his kingdom to come if it was here in its fullness. And we wouldn't be asking God to send it if he wasn't interested in giving us his kingdom here and now. So part of walking with Jesus in faith is carrying the two together, stepping into it and saying, God, will you meet me in the tension? And let's see. So what we're going to do, like in Benton, I believe there's a prayer station down there, and I'm going to pray, and there's going to be some music, and you're welcome to go receive prayer. Take your time. I'm here in the room in Cape. We just have four stations in the room, and through those doors, there's a prayer chapel that I'm betting most of y'all don't even know is there. There's a prayer chapel through those doors. How about that? And there's someone in there waiting for you if you need a quieter space. We have a few people in there. And we're just going to take some time. If you have a relationship, an emotional need, something in your body, something in your mind, something that you feel like is between you and God, forgiveness is a kind of healing. If you need forgiveness for something, whatever it is, we're just going to take some time. There's going to be some worship music. Let's worship together. And I would just encourage you to step out and to ask for prayer to receive an act of love. Because Jesus loves you a lot. He sees you. He cares about you. And he wants to meet you in the tension. So let's pray together and see what he wants to do. So Lord Jesus, we know that there is no, it's not like a formula. There's not like a, how do I work myself up enough to get you to move? That is just not who you are. You just invite us to bring what we have. And in an act of humility, say, God, I want you to bind up my broken heart. I want you to do something in my body. I want you to meet me in my relationships. I want a fresh encounter with you, Jesus, whatever it is. So would you right now just let the Holy Spirit bring to mind, is there some area of need that you could step out and meet the Lord today in? We can be such individualists, you know, this like, I can meet God on my own, and you can, but Jesus, would you stir our hearts to what can we ask others to step into the gap for us on? We just want to see you move. And if nothing else, Lord, we pray that people would feel loved because they are. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
We're so glad you tuned in today. If you like this video, don't forget to give it a thumbs up and share it with anyone you think could benefit. We're excited about all the content we have coming up and can't wait for you to see it. Be sure to subscribe so you won't miss out. If you're curious about LaCroix, or if you're looking to take the next step on your journey with Jesus, check out lacroixchurch.org. We hope to see you again soon.